John chapter number 1, I look out across the crowd and I see a lot of new faces, and I'm so thankful for that. Thank you for being here this morning. Brother Robbie was singing that song about the anchor holds, and Brother Taylor singing about the blood. And that blood, it is an anchor. And I don't know where I would be without the blood of Jesus. I don't know where I'd be without Jesus. In this day and time where His name is used in vain often, or to even curse, Paul said it good, didn't he? He said whether or not they preach Christ of sincerity or they preach Him of contention, either way, Christ is preached. Even to the ones that try and curse His name, Christ is still preached. Thank God for that. John chapter number 1, I have, since, I guess, late Wednesday evening, I've been praying about the book of John. For quite some time I've been praying. We looked at the book of Daniel on Wednesday nights, and I began to pray and ask the Lord, Lord, what would you have me to do next? What would you have me to preach? Where would you have me to go? And so I've preached several messages from then on Sunday mornings. You guys know that. You've been here. But I've just had an overwhelming sense. Now, I've never done this before. I've been a pastor for many years, and nearly 20 years, and I've been preaching for over 25 years, and I've never done this, what I'm about to tell you, before. But I believe that I should preach through the book of John. And so I don't know how long that will take us. I don't know how many services it will happen. But we're going to start this morning and let the Lord do what He wants to. Amen? And so you guys pray for me as I plan to preach through the book of John. I have never in my ministry picked such a long book and preached through that. And you will find out in just a moment, there is more content in the book of John in these first few verses than what we can exhaust. And so I'm not going to try and preach an exhaustive, hopefully it won't be exhausting to you this morning. Some of you might already be in the land of Nod. You be careful. That's really close to the land of sin. Amen. Amen. It happens. I get it. I'll try and not bore you. Amen. But in John chapter number 1, and we'll read the first 5 verses, and then I have here just through verse number 1. We'll see how the Lord allows us to preach, but John 1, verse number 1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Precious Heavenly Father, please give me the right words to say, Lord, as I preach this morning. I need You so much, Lord. Lord, I am unable in and of myself to even come up with the ability or the words to say that would convey what Your Word wants out there. And so, Holy Spirit, I ask You for guidance of every word that comes from my lips. I pray, Lord, for Your wisdom. I pray, God, that You would give me what I stand in need of as I preach to Your people what they stand in need of. God, help us as we begin this study and these messages through the book of John. Give me Your wisdom to study. Lord, help me to be diligent to dig into the Word of God and find more of what You want us to know. Have mercy upon me, O Lord. Forgive me my many sins, my many shortcomings where I failed You. In Jesus' holy name I pray. Amen. The Gospel of John, this book of Scripture, is one of the summits of Scripture. It was the last of the 4 Gospels that were written. And it was written somewhere around 85 to 90 A.D., and I'm convinced that it was written by the Apostle John, who also wrote 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and the book of the Revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. He penned those. But in this, and that's a little bit of history on the book of John, very, very little, and I know there's so much more, but I don't want to so much focus on the history of the book as I do the content of the book. I want you to get the content, because what you believe about the next few verses, that those that we just read, and what the Lord willing will be preaching, is sort of a litmus test for your faith. It really shows whether or not you believe. And if we have a belief that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, we're not going to have any problem with, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. We will believe these things, and this is fundamental to you and I to know who Jesus is and what He is. And so I want to preach to you the content from the book of John. And looking at these first five verses here, with the Lord's help, I believe under the Lord's direction, I'll get to preach through the book of John, but it's going to be like this every time that I stand to preach. Amen. I don't even know that all the messages will be here. I don't know. If I'm going to get to preach, I believe the Lord wants me in this book for it. And that's a bold statement. I don't know if you guys ever preach. You preachers know. But there's sometimes your mind gets a little crazy. I know y'all don't deal with that, do you? Your mind get a little crazy. Something going on. And I got up this morning, I was praying, and I said, Lord, please don't let me sound, one, like an idiot when I get in the pulpit, and two, like I don't know what I'm talking about. Now, I know you guys, maybe y'all don't public speak as much as I do, so take the conversation, a personal conversation you're having with someone, and you say something that's dumb, and you think, man, that was really dumb, why did I just say that? Well, you guys look around the room and magnetize that personal conversation by about 120, and you'll have what I feel like this morning. So John is making an incredible statement here in these first few verses. He's making really a declaration in these first few verses. And I believe the reason that he's doing so is because, and with this, with the content, there has to be history so that you understand what's going on here. I believe the reason is because he saw things creeping into the church. Now, Matthew, Mark, and Luke had already been written. They were significantly before him, about 30 years before John wrote the book of St. John, we know of St. John. And so they already had these gospels circulating in the churches that the Apostle Paul was out starting. Paul, by this time, A.D. 90, Paul had already passed off the scene. Peter had already been martyred. All of these great stalwarts of the faith were passing off of the scene, and their writings were left, and they were being circulated, and thank God for it. But John had lived long enough that he saw things coming in. By this time, 90 years after the birth of Christ, John begins to see things coming in the church. I mean, you got to think we're in the third generation by 90 A.D. of Christians, and as much as we try not to, there is a dilution of beliefs as we progress. You can see that in our nation. You can see that in the morals, that the moral fabric of our nation right now. You can see that principle, but that's not what I'm preaching on today. John had lived long enough, and he had this same guy had spent 3.5 years at the side of Jesus, who was his cousin, his mother. I'm not sure on the pronunciation if it's Salome or Salome. She was the sister of the mother of Jesus, Mary. And so he was the first cousin of Jesus, as was John the Baptist, was a distant cousin of Jesus, and thank God for that and for his ministry. But this guy, John, he had spent the time with Jesus as he ministered, as he performed miracles. He knew him both as a family member and as the Savior of the world. John was a disciple also. He was in the ranks of Matthew, Peter, and James. He knew John the Baptist. He knew Paul the apostle and these other servants of God. Those men had passed off the scene. And so John is looking out across the church's landscape and he sees that there is a necessity for another gospel under the direction of the Holy Spirit. And he writes his gospel to show an incredible declaration of who Jesus is. He writes the gospel. Here's what the Matthew shows Jesus in a royal sense. Mark shows Jesus as a servant. Luke shows him as a healer and as a physician. But John the Baptist John the writer, through John the Baptist too, amen, shows Jesus not only as a healer, not only as a servant, not only as royalty, but as Savior. And so the deity of Christ is needed to be preserved, and John undertakes that task. So we see here an introduction to Christ or of Christ, and this gospel is written to affirm who Christ is. I want to look first off at Christ and His relationship. The first relationship is the relationship with God. And that is paramount to your belief. Jesus is not a God among many. Jesus is not just a good moral character that you can model your life after. He is. He knew no sin, and yet the sin of the whole world was laid on Him for our forgiveness of our sins. But Jesus is not just the guy that hung on the cross, although thank God that He did hang on the cross. And thank God for His sacrifice that day. I'm not ignorant to the value of that. I'm just simply saying that before He went to the cross, and the reason that He went to the cross is because He is the Son of God. So in John's declaration here, of Christ and His relationship with God, I want you to notice a few things with me here. This relationship is vital to the identity of Christ. He is not just a God among many. He is the God. He is the Son of God. And He was here before this world began. Verse number 1, the Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." I want you to notice with me the designation that John puts on Jesus here. He calls Him an incredible title that we have seen earlier in the Scripture. He calls Him the Word. The Word. Now, why is that significant? That doesn't mean anything to me, Brother Josh. I'm not really sure what you see in that. Well, I'm glad that maybe those thoughts are going through your mind about Him being the Word. And I was talking Friday night. We had some folks over at the house, and I was talking, and I mentioned this, and I said, you guys may hear this on Sunday morning, so here it goes. Words reveal thoughts. Words reveal thoughts. By John calling Jesus the Word, and you'll notice that that word, Word, W-O-R-D, is capitalized. That denotes deity. The Word, by Him being called the Word, and words we know reveal thoughts, John calls Him the Word. He's calling Him the thoughts of God Almighty. He's letting us know that Christ is the revelation of God's thoughts towards man. If you've ever wondered what God thought of you, you should know what God thinks of you is that He sent this Son of His, the Lord Jesus, as Word, as the revelation of His thought, and the purpose of Jesus coming to the earth was to die on the cross for our sins. God revealed to the world what He thought of the world. We like to view God as maybe this big, mean old man sitting in heaven with a lightning rod, and He wants to zap you every time you do something wrong. The devil and the world have painted pictures of God to try and make Him look that way. But every illustration in the Word of God where the Father is interacting with a Son, it is not in a manner that is not lining up with God's love for man. And so, in the beginning was the Word. This Word, God reveals His thoughts in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and gives to you what He wants you to have. So, maybe you're thinking this morning, some of you have a kind of a blank look on your face. I'm not sure if I'm going under you or over you. I'm not really sure. But can I give you this? Because we quote it a lot at graduation time and we think about the goodness of life. But you go all the way back to Jeremiah. I like this. Can I have a little fun here? Thank you, Lord. Jeremiah. Jeremiah was told by God in the first book of Jeremiah, I knew thee, and I formed thee in thy mother's womb. And before you ever came forth, I knew what you were, I knew who you were, I knew what I was going to do with you, and I knew that you was going to be a preacher before the child was ever born. You go to Jeremiah 29, a whole lot of water goes under the bridge, and you find verse number 11. Can I go back up here and read this? Y'all ready for this? For I know the thoughts. I know the thoughts that I think toward you. You know why he knew him? Because his thoughts were sitting next to him. Y'all all right? The Word was with God. He said, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace. Jesus said in John chapter number 14, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth unto you. Thank God we have peace that passes all understanding. Friend of mine, if you've ever wondered what the thought of God is toward you and toward your life, He said, I know the thoughts that I think to you, or to you, and those thoughts are revealed in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He made this declaration. He said, thoughts of peace and not of evil to give you an expected end. What will you do with this Word? The Word there is logos. You guys have heard that. And in the Greek sense, so John's language was Greek, and what he wrote it in was Greek. However, John was a Hebrew. And the Hebrews, believe it or not, surpassed Greeks in wisdom. Even though the Greeks may have been known as the philosophers, that meant they came up with their own thoughts. They didn't allow God to control their thoughts. They wanted to see and hear some new thing. Read the book of Acts. But the word there, translated word, the capital W-R-E-O-R-D, is logos. And so logos in the Greek means a representation of wisdom. Did y'all get that? And so John took one of their words and used it in the Hebrew sense and put it there to describe the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Logos, the beginning of wisdom. Y'all okay? He is the Bible calls Him, and He called Himself in the book of the Revelation, the Alpha and Omega. Isn't it interesting that John wrote that book too, and he calls Him Alpha and Omega? In the beginning was the Word. He's Alpha and Omega, Alpha and Omega. Alpha is the beginning letter of the Greek alphabet. Omega is the final letter of the alphabet, and everything in between. Do you guys know what makes words, you guessed it, letters? And so because of this, the deity of Christ is shown in that God reveals His thoughts and His wisdom and His might through Jesus Christ. Amen. In the beginning was the Word. This is His designation. There's another thing here, and I took the liberty of alliterating these, and I'm hoping that you'll remember them as we go to leave. It's only 12:04. We're in good shape. If they run out of tacos or nacho chips or pico de gallo, or queso cheese. There is another Mexican restaurant literally 5 minutes down the road. And they all have the Speedy Gonzales. His relationship with God, the designation that John gave to him, but then the duration that John affixed to him. The Bible says not only was in the beginning was the Word, but he said in the beginning. Now this word beginning, and the word translated for the word beginning, refers to creation. Before the world began, Jesus was. Christ had not, or had a being before the world came into existence. Jesus did not just come into being at Bethlehem as part of God. He has always existed alongside God. In the beginning was the Word. Now that's hard for us to think about. I mean, you and I, we've programmed ourselves to think maybe 100, 200 years in time past, and there are some that maybe can even think 1 or 2 millennia in past, and you know, good for you if you can. Scientists today have taught themselves to believe billions of years in the past. You take all that, whatever you believe about that, before all that started, Jesus was. Before all that began, He was already there. Before all of that was created, the Creator was sitting next to God the Father and was there with Him in eternity past. That boggles the mind. His duration is longer than any other. S.M. Lockridge said once that He had no predecessor, He'll have no successor. You can't vote Him out and He's not going to resign. Amen? He is eternal, and He's not going to step aside for anybody. God is sat on His throne, and Jesus has went back to His throne and is seated at the right hand of the Father and is currently making intercession for you and I. He is right now at this moment doing His godly duty in heaven. And He will not stop. And He will not relinquish. And He will not give up. You can't impeach Him either. He has sat on His throne, John described Him in the book of the Revelation. There's another thing that I want to look at here. In the beginning was the Word, His dwelling place. The Bible says He is with God. Now I know I've already touched on that with the duration, but He is with God. That clouds my mind to think about Him being with God. I would love to tell you that I have a perfect understanding of God, but I don't. I remember years ago, I was sitting in a seminary class, and the guy teaching it, he stood up and he said, "We're going to talk about the things that describe God." And I thought, "Oh, wow, this ought to be interesting to learn. I'm looking forward to this." And man, he started listing these things, and he broke out 14 attributes of God. 14. 14. Y'all, we're talking about a 90-minute class here. And 14 different words to describe God. Double perfection. Something that boggles the mind and causes me. Humans need 14 different attributes or adjectives to describe God. And Jesus was with Him. First John 1:2 says, "For this life," or the life, "was manifested, and we seen it and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father was manifested unto us." So His duration coincides with His dwelling. He is with God, and this life that we call salvation, this privilege that God has given to us to be saved, to be born again, to know the Lord, to get to know the Lord better, this precious Word, this precious book that He has given to us, His dwelling, He was manifested, He was made known. That's what that word means. And you and I get to bear witness of that. He showed us eternal life. And that eternal life was with the Father, and it was manifested to us. It was given to us in Christ. The Bible goes on to further say, not anything that was made, or all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And of course, that's talking about physical things, but it's also talking about our salvation. This wonderful plan of salvation, He came up with this because He is life. It's not that He was life or that He was the creation. He is the creation of life, but He is life embodied. He is the only being that has the ability to start life inside another life. They can't replicate the heartbeat. It needs an outside energy to start the heart beating. God doesn't need He is the outside energy. His dwelling is with God, and that dwelling is life. Lord, help me to explain that. Yes, sir. I want to look at one more thing. His deity. No, I'm not going to preach all five verses today. I saw the consternation on some of your faces. We won't get no tacos. We'll have to go to the Golden Corral. I want to look at His deity. He was the Word. He was in the beginning. He was with God. The Bible says He was God. 1 John 5:7 says, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. They agree together. Not only do they agree together, they are together. That in itself is incredible to me. I've pastored Baptists for many years, and to get three of them to agree on one thing is an incredible feat. The Bible says, let this mind be in you, is also in Christ Jesus. Amen. His deity is that He was God. And He's speaking in an imperfect sense here, or an imperfect tense, excuse me, here. And what that means is that the word was is declaring that at that time, at the beginning, in the beginning, the Word was God. Now, that doesn't mean that He ceased to be God because He came to earth. That means He manifested Himself in the flesh as God. So He still is God. We said it a few weeks ago, the great I Am still is. His deity is that He was God. He is God. And these three that are bearing record in heaven, even today, the Father and the Word and the Holy Ghost, and those three are one. They agree in one mind, in one accord. Revelation 19:13 says, and He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and His name is called the Word of God. Read Revelation 19 concerning the deity of Christ. 1 Timothy 3:16, the Bible says, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, that's through Jesus Christ, justified in the Spirit, amen, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, which is still happening right now at this very moment, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. Did you know that you can still believe on Him today? What I have attempted to preach to you out of this first verse of the book of John was, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse number 2 says the same was in the beginning with God. Friend of mine, if you can believe that, you will have no problem with, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, the Word, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. If you will put your faith and your trust in this one verse, then when it comes time for you to believe that Jesus died for you, this same word that I've preached to you this morning, this same man that I'm talking about went to that cross, died on that cross, but he didn't stay dead. He rose again victoriously. That's what Easter is all about. That's what Resurrection Sunday is all about. We commemorate the time that Jesus got up out of the grave. Now you think about the incredible power that was there before the universe began. It's the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. And it is that power that He will save you with. You will put your faith and your trust in Him. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Jesus from the dead, look what the Bible says, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. He went on further in the 13th verse of that chapter. It's Romans chapter number 10. You can look it up and read it for yourself. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What if that's you? What if you struggled with believing what I've preached this morning? Man, if you will trust Christ, all the rest of it will come in. Father, in Jesus' holy name, Lord, I believe that I have preached what You laid on my heart. Lord, I've tried so hard to be clear and concise with my words. Father, I don't want to leave anybody with confusion. I don't want anybody to walk out of here saying they didn't understand. Holy Spirit of God, please reveal. Please go past my jumbled words and deal directly with the hearts of those that are in here this morning that do not know You as Lord and Savior. Lord, maybe there's some that just need revival, some Christians that have waited far off and they've gotten away from sound doctrine. Lord, would You help them? God, would You move? Lord, would You have Your will in Your way? I pray, Heavenly Father, if there be one here that does not know You, or all over the room that don't know You in the free pardon of sin, God, let them know You today. Let them cry out to You, call upon You, because You are faithful and just to forgive us. Have Your will in Your way. If you're able this morning, would you stand with us while we sing?